Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
If you received what looks like junk mail from your city or town about your electricity, you might want to take another look before you toss it out. Residents around Massachusetts have been receiving these letters saying their municipality is switching energy suppliers. Cities and towns are allowed to do this on behalf of the residents, and it's under state law. The moves come as community leaders are seeking to buy more environmentally friendly power. But there is someone, the founder of ConsumerWorld.org, Edgar Dworsky. He is a consumer attorney, and he used to work at the Massachusetts Executive Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation in Boston. He says it's not necessarily a good thing.
In the case of Brookline and Winchester, consumers who were being switched into plans will wind up paying more on their electric bill every month because those city and towns chose plans that had more green energy supplies, if you will, from wind and solar than some other plans that were also available to them.
This is not a simple equation. This is depending on the city or town, the rates could go up by a few dollars a month or otherwise. Joining us now to understand this, if we can, is Larry Creshan. He is the executive director of the Mass Energy Consumers Alliance. Welcome to Radio Boston, Larry Creshan.
Hi, thanks very much.
And I just want to make sure we understand who you are. Your group is an advocacy group for clean energy?
Yes, we advocate for clean energy. We encourage the state and cities and towns to support clean energy, but we're also a supplier. We buy renewable energy wholesale from wind and solar generators, and we offer that to consumers who want to go above state law and voluntarily buy more renewable energy.
Okay, so you then would see this as a good thing as opposed to Edgar Dworsky, I would imagine. But what is going on here, and why are people getting these letters now, this time of year in particular?
Well, there's been a spate of interest in the last year or two of a lot of communities want to either save money through community choice aggregation, or they want to incorporate more renewable energy into their mix. And some communities are trying to balance the two and try to make progress in both areas. And so what a lot of these communities have done is they've hired a consultant. In the case of Brookline and Somerville, the consultant is a company by the name of Good Energy that has helped organize this concept, which is they put it out to bid for the electricity supply, but with a specification that it include more renewable energy than required by law. And, we do support that. We think that communities are very accountable, there's a process in court, according to state law, where even the plan has to be approved by city officials or town officials. In Brookline's case, it was a town meeting. In Somerville, it was the mayor and the city council. But then there's a very deliberate process overseen by the Department of Public Utilities in Massachusetts where consumers are given that letter that you referred to, and they're given a chance to opt out. If they don't want more renewable energy than required by law, then they don't have to. They can decide to stick with the utility. In those cases, it's Eversource, or they could pick another supplier.
But what about this idea that people are, we don't know how many people don't realize that this is a place that they could opt out. Are you hearing from people that they were surprised by their supplier changing, that their bill did go up, or that they didn't even notice it? This is just coming to light for some. Early June, one of the wicked locals had an article about Arlington, Massachusetts. We saw something in the Boston Globe, and we've been hearing about this ourselves. So, isn't this surprising for consumers? And shouldn't they know first?
Well, they do know first. I guess,
how informed are we, right?
Their community had a public process. There were public hearings, in any community, when there's a act of civic engagement going on, some people are going to for good reason that they may not be they may not pick up on the information, they may not be paying attention at a particular moment. But what we want to underscore is that nothing was done sleight of hand. It took months to get through the Department of Public Utilities. Now what's happening? People are responding. In the Globe wrote a story about the fact that everyone got their 30-day opt-out letter, is what we call it. They're not going to see this on their bill until the first meter read in July or August. And so they're given a notice here that they can opt out of the renewable energy content if they want. But you know what? Even after the 30 days, they're allowed to opt out at any time that they want without penalty.
Okay,
so it's a sort of a grace period is what we have going on right now.
Okay, so everything, just to be clear, we know it is on the up and up. I think there is just sort of, who we are as consumers. We think we've signed on for Eversource or for National Grid or whomever, and that's just our electricity company for, from birth to death, if you're living in the same place.
Isn't it a good thing, though, that the community is now looking at what's going on with the electricity supply that the utility's providing?
It could be, but they're, this is about municipal aggregation, right? But there's also in the aggregate that somebody is making a lot of money over time. There's $50 million, according to the Boston Globe. Let me read this straight out. Eversource estimates that residential customers who joined these programs, these municipal aggregation programs, have in the past 12 years collectively paid more than $50 million more than they would have if they had stuck with Eversource's basic service option. So where is that money going?
Well, first of all, I think we should take another look at Eversource's numbers. That's something they're throwing out to the Globe. But, I haven't seen the mathematics behind that. But what's driving this in many cases is, again, they're going back over 12 years, over a couple hundred thousand customers, and that's interesting. The Cape Light Compact runs the oldest municipal aggregation program maybe in the country, and they're doing quite well, and they're saving more energy. They have an energy efficiency program down there that's producing great results for the people of Cape Cod, and that's part of that program, and Eversource isn't referring to that. They have nothing to gain or lose, as far as I understand it, by these programs.
Larry Krishan, we just have a little bit of time. I'm sorry. This is such a complicated story, it seems, because, we just assume our utilities come in some way, whether that's green or otherwise. Is it in about 20 seconds, is it complicated always, or will we get used to this as a new way of deciding whether we opt in or out and how we pay our bills?
It's going to be done on a community-by-community basis. And, the reality is a lot of communities want to address climate change and they want to build the renewable energy projects in the community. And one way to do it is by exercising this community choice aggregation.
Larry Krishan, thank you so much for joining us. I hope we get to continue talking about this. Our show is produced by Kathleen McNerney, among others. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is Radio Boston.